to the very first book of the Bible, the 18th chapter, Genesis chapter 18. Jimmy Purcell gave this bit of advice to fathers on how to diaper a baby, using language that dads can understand. He said, spread the diaper in the position of the diamond with you at bat. Then fold second base down to home. Set the baby on the pitcher's mound. Put first base and third base together. Bring up home plate and pin the three together. Of course, in case of rain, you got to call the game and start all over again. There are so many wonderful and new and exciting things to learn when you become a dad, aren't there? Fatherhood definitely brings with it much activity and great responsibility. And since it is Father's Day, we want to take a few moments this morning to encourage the dads here and to show our appreciation for them. I'd like you to look this morning at something that was said to Father Abraham in the Old Testament, right here in Genesis chapter 18. One day, Abraham was sitting outside his tent when he got three very special visitors. Three angels basically showed up to his tent. They were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah, if you remember the story. And I personally believe that one of the angels was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so Abraham provided a meal for those three very special guests. And then he sent them on their way. And look what was said about Abraham when he does that. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. Says, then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For, the Lord said, I have known him or chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Lord, open this passage up to our hearts. Speak loud and clear to all of us this morning, especially to those whom you have chosen to be dads. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's one characteristic about Abraham's life that really stands out in Scripture. And that one characteristic is this. Abraham was a man chosen of God. Abraham was chosen by God for many wonderful things. Look there in verse 18, the Lord says, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Abraham was chosen by God to become the patriarch of a great and mighty nation. What nation would that be? Israel. He would have a son named Isaac. Isaac would grow up, have a son named Jacob, who would later be called Israel. He would have 12 sons corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel would become one of the mightiest and greatest nations on the face of the earth, particularly under King Solomon and King David. And the way I read last day prophecy in the Scripture, the nation of Israel will one day very soon become the greatest and mightiest nation on the face of the earth again with King Jesus in charge. Abraham was chosen by God to kick all that off. He was selected, chosen by God to be the patriarch of that great and mighty nation. It also says in verse 18, the Lord said of Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. What an amazing promise. And of course, we know that that's ultimately speaking of the Messiah who would be born into the family of Abraham. Hundreds of years later, God's Son would become a man. The incarnation would take place. Jesus would be born to the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. Jesus born as a Jew. Lineage traced all the way back to Father Abraham. And it's in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that all of the nations of the earth have the potential to be blessed. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. Abraham was chosen for that. He was a man chosen of God. And the wonderful story about Abraham is that he wasn't really looking for it. And he didn't really even deserve it. The biblical account specifically says that Abraham was just sort of living his life, doing his own thing, minding his own business, living in a pagan country called Ur of the Chaldeans. And one day, completely out of the blue, the Lord said to him, the Lord visited Abraham and said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. None of that was deserved by Abraham. That was God's grace. Abraham deserved nothing. God chose Abraham by his grace. The only thing we can really credit Abraham with was that he exercised faith in the Lord and left his house and went out into the promised land. What an amazing example of faith. Abraham, chosen by God for many lofty, wonderful, incredible things. You know, if you're a Christian, that's your story. Our story really is the same story as Abraham. Think about it. There was a time in your life where you were just sort of going about your life, doing whatever you thought was best. And one day God visited you. Somebody brought the gospel message to you. Somebody told you that Jesus loves you. Maybe it was at a Christmas service or an Easter service or on the radio or in a book that you read. Or a friend that shared with you the gospel. And you gave your life to the Lord. You responded and you became born again and you became a child of God. And it's a wonderful thing. After you make that decision, you discover that God had chosen you to become His child. God, out of His grace, chose you for many, many wonderful things. And it's a mind blower. The Bible even teaches that God chose you to become His child even before you were born. Now, I know that brings up the whole sovereignty of God and free will of man debate, but we're not going to figure that one out today. But it's absolutely true if you're a Christian, God has called you. I love what one woman said. She said, if God had not chosen me before I was born, I'm sure He wouldn't have seen nothing in me to have chosen me afterward. Chosen by the Lord. Chosen for wonderful things. Notice specifically what it says of Abraham, though, in verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household. That word, I've known him, is a word that could also be translated, I've chosen him. So the NIV translates it, I have chosen him to direct his children and his household. I saw that this week, and I got to tell you, I sort of stood back a moment and took a big gulp. As a dad, it just really put a big lump in my throat. Fathers, consider what is said here. Of all the wonderful things that Abraham was chosen for, and he was chosen for some great things. Abraham was first and foremost chosen simply to be a dad. To be the leader of his household. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are a dad here this morning, God has chosen you for that. And I believe without a doubt that that is your highest calling in life. To be a father. To be the right kind of a father for your kids. And I want you to, that is a high calling. It's your highest calling. Now I realize we live in a society today that sort of demeans dads. Sort of dismisses fathers. There's a lot of people out there in the world who needs dads and whatnot, despite the statistics that people bring up. There's not a whole lot of respect. And dad, you might be tempted to think that your role as a dad really doesn't matter all that much. And that, you know, you're only good for a few things like working hard to pay the bills. As long as you do that, you've got that all taken care of and you've done your job. You know, an old French proverb used to say, a father is a banker provided by nature. Another person said, a father is a guy who has snapshots in his wallet where his money used to be. You know, it's a very, very serious thing that you be a good father, that you be a good provider. But it's not just that, bro. Your role as a father is a holy calling. It is a divine commission. It is your highest calling in life. Now, with that high calling comes some real responsibility. Look at the responsibility that was given to Abraham in this calling. Verse 19, for I have known him or chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after them, him. Now, Dad, that doesn't mean that you were chosen by God to be a drill sergeant in your home, barking out orders to all the members of your household. It certainly does suggest that you have been called, chosen by the Lord to lead your home. To lead your children, to lead your household, not as a twisted, brutal dictator, but as a godly man, as a godly leader. And this word command is translated different ways in the Old Testament. It's translated different ways. It's used to speak of a father giving instruction to his children. You see it used like that throughout the book of Proverbs. This word command is used to speak of a farmer giving instructions to his servants on how to do the work, or a king giving instructions to his subjects on how to get the work of the government done. The basic idea of the word is instruction, teaching, directing, guiding, leading. Dad, you have been chosen by God to be the leader of your children, the leader of your household, the instructor, the teacher, the director, And they need you in all aspects of life. Everything. You are needed. Only dads can really, really provide that kind of instruction and direction for their kids. You fill that special, special role. George Herbert said, one father is worth more than 100 schoolmasters. Another author said, Dad, your guiding hand on my shoulder will remain with me forever. Dad, you've been called to direct. In other words, you've been called by the Lord to prepare your children for life. For a long, productive, fruitful, skillful life. And as a Christian, to even go way beyond that, to prepare children for life eternal. Amen? Dad, it's a holy calling. And for those of you that still have children at home under your roof, you have got to make time to spend time with your kids. You've got to be there. You have got to be a steady, constant, interested presence in the life of your children. Now, I know it's hard. I know we work hard, dads, but you know what? You cannot sacrifice that time with your kids. You occupy that very special role. One preacher opened up his Father's Day sermon this way. He said, what if I could tell you that there was a way to guarantee that your children will be 5 times less likely to commit suicide, 30 times less likely to run away, 20 times less likely to have behavioral disorders, 14 times less likely to commit rape, 9 times less likely to drop out of high school, 10 times less likely to abuse chemical substances, and 9 times less likely to end up in state-operated institutions. Would you be interested in finding out the secret? Here it is. The presence of a father in the home. That's how important you are, guys. Be right there in the midst of your kids' lives. Be interested. Be looking for all the opportunities to instruct. To be involved. Now, realize, Dad, when our kids get a little bit older, they're going to become a little less interested in your advice, aren't they? Especially as they get into the teenage years, you know. I'm enjoying right now being really cool in the eyes of my kids. I register pretty high on the cool-o-meter. Dad can do no wrong. But they're getting older very quickly. And already with my 11-year-old, I'm starting to see, man, the coolometer rating's slowly cruising its way down. And you're going to be working with your kids when they get a little older, and you might be tempted, well, they don't listen anyway. Stay involved. Stay involved. Embarrass your kids. Be active in their lives no matter what. It's going to pay off because, yeah, those were weird years there. But soon, when your children reach an age of maturity, they will appreciate all that you've done. Hang in there. I love what Mark Twain said. He said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Charles Wadsworth said, by the time a man realizes that maybe his father was right, he usually has a son who thinks he's wrong. It's going to be a natural deal, guys. But you stay involved. You have been commissioned by God for that. It is your highest calling. Notice this little phrase that you see pop up there in verse 19. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. Check that out, dads. That seems to suggest that he was called by the Lord to give instructions to his children and his household that he himself was willing to follow. In other words, follow after me as I instruct you in life. Dads, we are called to walk the talk. To practice what we preach. It would be an absolute tragic thing, Dad, to live a life that basically says to your kids, do what I say, not what I do. Ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work. You've got to be an example. Kids are very sensitive to hypocrisy, aren't they? They can spot hypocrisy in the life of a parent like that. So your walk has to match your talk. Your kids will learn how to handle adversity by the way you handle adversity. Your kids will learn how to handle money by the way you handle money. The kids will learn how to handle anger by the way you handle anger. Father, your sons will learn how to treat their wives by the way you treat their mother. You can't just sit there and instruct. You have to live your life according to the life that you're instructing them to live. And you know what? We all learn best by example, don't we? Example works. On Father's Day, I like to remember all the various great times that I had with my dad. And, you know, we had this big golf tournament this weekend, yesterday, and I grew up on the golf course. My dad was a golfer, and he taught me how to golf. And you know how he taught me to golf? He didn't take me in a classroom and say, okay, we're going to analyze the golf swing on the whiteboard. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to get tutored. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He took me out to the driving range, and he said, watch me. Watch me. Dad, you're living your life in such a way that tells your kids, watch me. Mimic me. Here's the example that I'm giving you. Now, I realize that that's a high calling. It is. I realize that as dads, we got a very special place. Yes, we're to be instructing, and yes, we're to give examples. And a lot of dads might think, well, I can't do it. I won't be perfect. Guess what? No dad's perfect. And you know what? You know what's one of the most wonderful things, Dad, that you can teach your child? How to make up for when you blow it. How to confess when you're wrong. How to make amends. Oh, kids will learn wonderful things through that and need to learn wonderful things through that. I'll expose myself just a little bit for you. The other day, it's been a few months now, I heard my boys talking about somebody that had made them mad, and one of my sons said, that guy's a real jerk. And I thought, don't say that. That is like, you're not allowed to call people that. You cannot do that. And my son said, well, isn't that what you called that driver? A few days ago on the road when they cut you off and... Oh, they can do that, don't they? You know what? That was a teachable moment for my kids. That was not the time to say, well, do as I say, not as I do. That was the time as a dad to say, yep, you know what? I blew it bad. please, please forgive me. We should never say that of another person. Be that good example. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. No dad is. But we are to be the best example that we can be. And when we blow it, show them how to make amends. Amen, guys? Need a lot of kids that know how to admit that they're wrong and know how to make amends when they blow it. And they need dads to show them that. Well, very quickly, look at the specific direction that we're supposed to give. Verse 19, again, "For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice." Dad, you're to be there to instruct your kids in all the various circumstances in life that they must face. But as a Christian dad, the most important task for you as a dad is to direct your kids in righteousness and justice. In other words, as dads, we have the God-given responsibility to teach our children morals. To teach our kids what is right and what is wrong. Kids just don't pick that up on their own, folks. They need to be taught. And of course, as Christian men, we don't just teach them our morals, what we think's right and wrong. What's our standard of right and wrong? Where do we find it? In the Word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, fathers were told this, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In other words, constantly, constantly, Dad. Constantly telling your kids what's right and what's wrong. Bringing morals ever before him. Be the moral authority in your house. And I'm telling you, you got to be relentless in this. Oh, there are many kids out there that don't have any clue about morals. And there is so much room out there for things to get twisted about morality, even at the youngest of age. Be committed to that. That's your calling. You know, there's times where we're watching TV. You can't watch a TV program if you find something that's a little immoral, right? Some of you might have a little pause button. If you're watching a show and something comes up and it's immoral, it's not a good thing for your kid to watch, hit pause and say, "That was wrong. That was not a good thing." And if you have to hit pause too much, you don't have any business watching that show. But I mean, there's a lot of things that you got to explain just watching some of the kids on Cartoon Network, some of the shows on Cartoon Network. And parent, it's more than just about giving commands to your kids and telling them what's right and wrong. It's also teaching them the heart of the matter, the heart, the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. This is wrong, and this is why it's wrong. And instead, do this. You have to be relentless on that. You have to do that. There was a little episode that took place in my childhood. I'll never forget my dad getting so mad. Not at me. But he got mad at an authority figure in my life at high school. I mentioned that we played a lot of golf in my household, and I played golf 4 years on the varsity in high school. And the coach of the golf team gave us a whole set of rules one day about what he would expect of us for the season. And one of his rules was, don't cheat. Share the true score of what you got on that hole. And that's important because I know a lot of guys couldn't add past par. But the coach said, you will not cheat. You will be fair. And then he went on to say, and here's why. Because I don't want to be embarrassed if you get caught. My dad read that and he came unglued. He sat me down and he said, you will not cheat because cheating's wrong. I don't care if your coach is embarrassed or not. My son will not cheat, and he won't cheat because it's wrong to cheat. And he'll have the right attitude. Dad, build that type of character into your kids. We are responsible before the Lord, and let me encourage you in that, to teach them morals. And then it also says, for I've known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord. And Dad, that is the most important responsibility. You are chosen to teach your kids about God, about who he is, how to have a relationship with him, the gospel. Dad, teach your kids how to pray, how to read the Bible, how to serve at church, how to witness, how to share their faith. And that's, again, something that you can't just instruct, you have to model. What a holy calling dads have. Christian fathers, this morning I want to encourage you in that calling. And all of us who have dads, and all of us do have dads, don't we? Or we wouldn't be here this morning, right? Let's appreciate them. Especially if you're a Christian family with a Christian father. Oh, recognize the position, the role that that person has been called by the Lord to fulfill in your life. Give them respect. Give them encouragement. It will take a lot of hard work. It will take a lot of sacrifice. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I love this one article I found. It says, fatherhood is not pretty. Non-fathers wear expensive Italian shoes. Fathers wear vinyl loafers that are made nowhere near Italy. Non-fathers drive cars that hold the turns. Fathers drive cars that hold the kids. Non-fathers fly to Switzerland. Fathers drive to Disneyland. Non-fathers spend weekends taken in the theater. Fathers spend weekends taking out the trash. Non-fathers eat seafood quiche. Fathers eat macaroni and cheese from the box. Non-fathers play tennis. Fathers play patty cake. Non-fathers live in the fast lane. Fathers live in subdivisions near a good school, an all-night grocery, a clinic, and a gas station. Non-fathers wear silk ties with subtle designer logos. Fathers wear whatever they got last Father's Day. Something in a palm tree, perhaps. Non-fathers invest in certificates that mature in a year. Fathers invest in shoes for feet that mature in 6 weeks. Yeah, there are sacrifices to be a dad. But it's worth it. Build your son. Build your daughter. And of course, if you're not a dad, then there are wonderful, wonderful ways to get involved in the lives of kids. You had an example of one way that you can get involved this morning. General Douglas MacArthur wrote a prayer. It's called, Build Me a Son, O Lord. You hear this a lot on Father's Day, but let me read it for you again. Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat, and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wishbone will not be where his backbone should be. A son who will know thee, and that to know himself is the foundation stone of knowledge. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clean, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men. One who will learn to laugh, yet never forget how to weep. One who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor so that he may be always be serious, yet never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. It's a great prayer. But guys, you know what the answer is to that prayer? You might pray, God, build me a son. You know what God's answer is? Build him, Dad. Be involved in his life. Teach him those things. Be consistent. Father, we thank you for this special Sunday every year where we're reminded of these things. And I would like to ask all the fathers in the room to stand to your feet. First of all, we appreciate you guys. Let's pray for them. Lord, raise up these men. Remind them of the incredible calling that you have on their lives. I pray that they would be willing to make the sacrifices necessary. I pray, Lord, that you would use these men in a mighty way in the lives of their children. Even for the dads that have children grown up and out of the house, encourage these guys, lift these guys up, anoint these guys by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I also want to pray for any dad here this morning who feels like a failure. I pray that you would lift up that one's countenance. Yes, Lord, mistakes may have been made in the past, but you can make all things brand new. Restore years that the locusts have eaten. Bring great reconciliation to relationships. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. Let's join the guys standing.